Mr. Speaker.
It was a barking mad day in the House, beginning with this question from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Mr. Speaker, this question is for the Prime Minister. How does he stand by all his statements?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
On foot.
Brilliant, isn't it, eh?
Order. We now need to get to the serious business of question time with substantially less interjection. The Right Honourable Winston Peters, supplementary question.
How can he stand by his statements yesterday that New Zealand, and I quote him, is not a tax haven, end of quotes, and that we, and I quote him again, also have an extensive disclosure regime, end of quotes, when specialist law firms on trust for foreigners point out there is no need for disclosure of identity or trust registration or for any such trust accounts to be audited?
The Right Honourable Speaker, Prime Minister.
Because I'm right.
Order.
Mr. Peters was not convinced.
Well, then, if he is right, why are so many international commentators and now the Australians having a go at us for being, in their words, a tax haven?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, as the member knows, people throw around all sorts of comments, but New Zealand is not a tax haven.
Because, said Mr. Key, New Zealand law required disclosure, although opposition leader Andrew Little was also concerned about the perception.
What effect does he think it has on New Zealand's reputation when we are viewed as a tax haven, harbouring billions of dollars, and his only reaction is to boast that it earns us $24 million a year in lawyers' fees and accountants' fees?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker. Mr. Speaker, New Zealand is not a tax haven. Tax havens don't have the disclosure regimes that New Zealand have. But, Mr. Speaker, it's as simple as this. If it's such a bad idea, it was Labor in 1988 who passed the trust legislation. It was Labor in 2006 that had the disclosure.
Order.
And if it was
Order.
A great idea Order. To close...
Order. The Prime Minister, when I rise to my feet, it requires the Prime Minister to cease his answer.
Mr. Key also faced questions from Greens co-leader James Shaw, who then made this request.
Mr. Speaker, I seek leave to introduce a members' bill in my name that would end the secrecy around foreign trusts in New Zealand by imposing a registration and disclosure scheme on foreign trusts to be set down as members' order of the day number one.
Leave is sought for that purpose. Is there any objection? There is objection.
The reason for the government blocking the Greens bill was later the subject of this question from Mr. Key from their finance spokeswoman, Julianne Janta.
The Right Honourable
Mr.
Prime Minister.
Speaker, the government's not opposed to making changes and would continue to work with the OECD on base erosion and the likes. But if the member really thinks that we're going to adopt the members' bill that wants to actually name taxpayers' IRD numbers, for instance, the member's got to be barking mad. She thinks that information should be in the public domain.
Order.
Point of order.
Order.
Sir, point of order, sir.
Point of order,
that insult was personal and unnecessary, and I ask that he be required to withdraw order. And apologise for that.
No, on this occasion, I don't agree with the member.
A 10-minute points of order battle drawing in virtually all parties included one from Julianne Janta after the Speaker said that if she'd been offended by the suggestion that she might be barking mad, she should say so.
I'm not offended. I'm more disappointed that the Prime Minister
and
won't answer a reasonable question.
Certainly not a point of order.
The Speaker was also required to decide on two requests from Winston Peters and Andrew Little seeking a snap debate on the tax haven issue.
The making of allegations can never constitute a particular case of recent occurrence for which there is ministerial responsibility. The government is accountable for concerns raised about the alleged use of New Zealand as a tax haven, but this is an ongoing matter. To warrant an urgent debate being held, there must be a new situation or decision of importance in itself. The absence of action on the part of the government is not a particular case of recent occurrence under which an urgent debate can be sought. The application is therefore declined.
Mr. Carter's decision was challenged by Winston Peters.
They are not allegations, they are proven facts, and I wanted to have a debate on what that means for a country with our reputation.
But the Speaker had made up his mind.
I've made a ruling. There is no debate. I call on government order of the day number 1 to 3.
And with that, the House formed itself into a committee of the whole for a detailed debate on those three bills. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.